Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and this episode is going to talk about what happened in the first half of 2018 from an investment standpoint and what we can expect perhaps over the next 6 months. So after the 10% first quarter correction, I did a lot of soul searching. I really did. And I decided, you know what? My risk exposure is too high. You know, the market corrected 10% and, you know, I had a $1.3 million portfolio in stocks and bonds, and it was about a 70%, 30% allocation. And I think I lost about $50,000 at one point at the worst period, and that didn't really feel good. You know, all this time since 2012, at least, the house was doing very well. It was just every year it was making, I don't know, $100,000, $150,000 return. I didn't really know that at the time, but it was just out of sight, out of mind, no stress. But as soon as I invested $1.3 million of the proceeds into stocks and bonds, I started getting stressed out every time the market would correct by 3, 4, 5%, let alone 10%. And so as a result, I decided to rebalance my portfolio, as any rational person would do. So I rebalanced it down to about 50% stocks, 50% bonds, and now it's at about 55-45. So overall, my public investment portfolio is up about 4.7% for the year. And that's not bad because the S&P 500 is up about 1 to 1.5%. My portfolio was largely helped by positions in the tech sector, Netflix, Amazon, Google. And then I bought some Omega Healthcare, which is this healthcare REIT that is an older demographic play. And then Facebook was up 9%. That was pretty good. And then I was hurt by a couple individual California municipal bonds bought in 2017, down 4% and 6.1% respectively, and they were much larger positions. And that kind of sucks because, one, it costs money to buy these individual bonds more than it does to buy stocks, and two, the bid-ask spread is very wide. So if I wanted to buy more of these municipal bonds that are down, let's say, 4 and 6%, I would have to pay only down like 2% or 4% because the spreads are so high. But in the end, they're going to pay par value, so I'm going to get all my money back while earning that tax-free dividend income. They're just underperforming in the meantime. So I just want to focus this podcast on several sections. One, bonds. Two, stocks. Three, real estate crowdfunding. Four, miscellaneous items. And then five, an outlook. So let's start with bonds, which is about 45% of my, quote, house proceeds portfolio, which is really the only portfolio I care about because I made such a huge decision to sell this property after almost 13 years of ownership, and I just don't want to screw it up. So in the beginning of the year, I wrote that I thought 3% would be the cap on the 10-year bond yield. Now, this is despite forecasts for the Fed to raise rates by 4 times this year. Therefore, when the 10-year yield broke 3% on May 15th, 2018, I backed up the truck, beep, 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 and bought a couple bond ETFs between May 15th and May 17th. So the yield actually hit a high of 3.11% as bonds sold off. And I think that's the high. 3.1% for the 10-year bond yield is the high for the year. So if the Fed really raises rates by another 2 times, the yield curve is going to be flat to maybe inverted by the end of the year, which portends to a recession. It's happened multiple times before, and I really need you guys to look at this indication because we're right now at the flattest yield curve, the twos and the tens, since about 2007, and we all know what happened in 2008 and 2009. So just really be aware. And if the Fed does raise rates by another 2 times and the yield curve does flat or go inverted, I would really, really, really be defensive in your portfolio asset allocation. With the overall portfolio up 4.7% for the year, I'm tempted to go 100% treasury bonds if the 10-year yield gets back up over 3%. It's right now about 2.85%. So the way to think about it is, if I do lock in a 3% yielding bond for the remaining 6 months, I'll get 1.5%. So if I add 4.7%, which is my year-to-date performance, to 1.5%, that's 6.2% total return, which is not bad in this market, I think. And this is the kind of mental exercise you guys should be thinking about when it comes to your after-tax investments, the money that you actually need to buy a house, to pay for school, to live your life if you're early retired or whatnot. You know, these are the kind of mental exercises you always want to think about when you're thinking about investing new money into risk assets. So if we move on to stocks, which accounts for about 55% of my house sale proceeds portfolio, it's interesting because originally, again, it was at around 70%, and I thought I'd be okay with this allocation because I had already de-risked by $815,000 by paying off the house's mortgage. But I was wrong about the stock portion. Again, losing $50,000 at one point in February really made me uncomfortable. And really, this was only one portfolio. I think overall, if I were to really check how much I lost, man, it was probably at least a couple hundred thousand dollars just in a span of a week. And that's just terrible. Like, there's no way that I should be experiencing this kind of loss with the way I am in my financial situation, right? I don't work. I have Financial Samurai as an online business, and I have a son to take care of. I need to be more conservative. So after selling some core S&P 500 holdings in the first half of March, when the S&P 500 recovered about 65% of its 10% loss, I began repurchasing stock in April and at the end of June to get my stock portfolio weighting up to 55%. The last week of June was pretty weak. It was down about 9 days in a row. So I decided to accumulate a little bit more and more to take advantage and rebuild my position. So right now I've got about $55,000 left in the portfolio, and I'll use that to take advantage of any bond or stock weakness. But my number one goal is to not sell anything in my house proceeds portfolio for the remainder of the year. I've been touching this portfolio way too much, which is a no-no, as you guys all know. You know, you don't want to cause all these tax liabilities or losses. But the thing is that nothing really happened this year, right? We're about flat. So I just needed to reweight my portfolio to match my true risk tolerance. I wrote a post about this. You guys should definitely read it. Maybe I did a podcast. I forget. I'm sure I probably did. But the risk tolerance you think you have is not reality. Trust me, folks. When you start losing big money, you are not going to be able to take it as you thought you would. It's really probably 30 to 50% less, your risk tolerance, that is. So please be aware. I think I finally constructed a portfolio that matches my risk tolerance, right? 55% stock, 45% fixed income. But we shall see how the portfolio holds up when volatility strikes again, which I know it's going to. All right, so moving on to real estate crowdfunding, where I reinvested $550,000 of the $1.8 million in house sale proceeds into Realty Shares. So I had dinner with them on June 27th. I had dinner with the Senior Director of Capital Markets, Director of Asset Management, and VP of Investor Sales and Client Success. And the key thing that I learned from Realty Shares is that they have set up more investment committees to vet each deal before hitting their platform. In the past, there was just one large investment committee that looked at all the deals to let about 5% of them onto their platform. Now each deal must be approved by multiple investment committees. Further, management has aligned investment committee compensation with the performance of each deal they approve. Hence, if a deal performs poorly, investment committee members who voted for the deal will get dinged. And I really like that. You want to align the management and the money managers with the investments and the investors. So with more eyeballs looking at each deal, the end result should be better deals for investors. Of course, there are no guarantees. But as an investor, it is reassuring to know that even before I do any due diligence on a project I like, Realty Shares has already done more due diligence than ever before. So they closed on a couple more deals in the fund that I'm in. So they have a total of 17 deals. One is in Minnesota. It's an office building. And another is a student housing project in Toledo, Ohio. And also the fund spit out a surprise $5,855 dividend payment in June, which is nice, but it kind of puts me over the limit in terms of the amount of income that I want to make for the year, which results in more taxes. So if you own an S-Corp, you have some flexibility in the way you're paid through salary and distributions. So based on my dinner conversation, it looks like the fund is on pace to reach a target IRR of 15% over 5 years. That's great, especially since the stock market and bond market are now not doing very well. But I'm not holding my breath. If I can get an 8% IRR, I'll be ecstatic. For those of you who are interested in investing in real estate crowdfunding, you can check out financialsamurai.com/RS. I truly believe it's going to be a multi-decade trend. And I think they're actually going to start a new fund open to more investors in the second half of 2018. So I'll let you guys know. All right, next. Other investments, venture debt, financial samurai, and physical real estate. Venture debt, I've got investments in a $200,000 venture debt fund. I got a $30,000 capital call. This is a really interesting thing for me because I don't have a lot of insights here. I invested with my friend who is the manager. I've known him since business school in 2003. And the fund has invested in an online beauty company, 3 hardware device companies, a semiconductor company, and a couple software companies. So I don't see any synergies there whatsoever. The idea is that you go into a well-capitalized company, you lend money at maybe 8 to 18%, and then you get out after 1 to 3 years. So if the company goes bankrupt, you're okay. And if the company starts struggling, hopefully you're okay because you are further up on the cap table. So it could be good. I think I'm looking for, again, 15% returns. We shall see. For Financial Samurai, it was pretty interesting because I got a couple inquiries about selling Financial Samurai. One was from a boutique investment bank representing a European publicly listed company. Although it's always nice to think about selling, I don't want to be selling before my 10-year anniversary because I promised myself in July 2009 that I would stick to running Financial Samurai for 10 years. So I've got one more year basically, and then maybe I'm out of here, or maybe I'll just keep the site and just enjoy the creativity and the interaction with the community. Besides, I want to use the site to teach my son about business, the internet, writing, communications. I think it'd be really a lot of fun. But of course, there is a price for everything, and if someone wants to offer me mega bucks, hey, let's talk. And then physical real estate. It's pretty interesting. I've been looking at Oahu beach properties just for fun online. You know, you can just go on Zillow or Redfin. And what I've noticed is that, man, the market is really, really weak in Hawaii. It's pretty sweet. I'm seeing $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 price cuts and just properties sitting on the market for years. And I don't know what's going on. Maybe just people are too rich and they don't really care. They don't really want to sell it. But it's such a different market than the market here in San Francisco, where generally properties sell within 2 to 3 weeks, or they're in contract within 2 to 3 weeks. But I'm noticing some random opportunities in SF as well. For example, the house that I put a lowball offer in May, it was asking $2.2 million. I put an offer for $1.95 million. It's still on the market 2 months later. So the seller is just stubborn too. And you know, the longer your house sits on the market, the less valuable it becomes because people lose interest. They're like, what's wrong with this property? So summer is one of the best seasons to hunt for relative bargains. So if you're in the market, I think you should be looking more aggressively now because inventory is up, demand is down. And I would think that people would be more desperate to sell their homes now, because all they have to do is wait until fall to list, or wait until the spring to list if they wanted to get the most amount of demand. So finally, what about the next 6 months? What's going to happen for the remainder of 2018? I don't think anything's going to happen. Despite strong corporate earnings growth, it feels like we're stuck in this plus or minus 5% channel that we've been in since early March. And I don't think we're going to get out of it, at least from the S&P 500's point of view. And for the 10-year bond yield, I think we are stuck between 2.75% and 3.11%. That's the range. And you know, if the Fed really does raise the Fed funds rate by 2 more times by the end of the year, please, please, please get defensive, because things tend not to go well once that curve is inverted. I think you got to think about where we are in the cycle, right? We've performed pretty well since 2010, but really it hasn't been since 2012 where we breached the previous peak. So we're about 6 years in from 2012, and the average bull market is around 8 to 9 years. So depending on where you want to think the bull market started, whether it's 2010 or 2012, it's clear we're in late innings right now. So if we're in late cycle, you want to be a little bit more defensive. We've made a lot of money since 2012, from stocks to real estate to perhaps some private deals. It's just absolutely nuts. And so when you're winning and when you know that the Fed is going to raise rates and you know that there is volatility back in the market, sometimes you just got to cash in your chips and say, hey, it's okay not to make a lot of money anymore. You know what? Maybe 5% return is okay. Don't have to shoot for 10%, 15%, because you open yourself up to risk to losing 10 to 15%. If someone gave me a chance to lock in an 8% overall public investment return for the year, I'd take it. For a blue sky scenario, I think bonds could be flat, maybe up a little bit, and there'd be a 10% rise in the S&P 500 to 3,000. That's blue sky by the end of 2018. But the reality is, I think bonds will probably be flat, but the S&P 500 will probably only rise by maybe 5 or 6%. In other words, reach that February high of 2018 and no more. I just think there's too many headwinds, and the risk-reward scenario just doesn't seem very favorable at all. And I noticed something really interesting as well. When the markets are strong, so the public markets, when the public markets are strong, private investments don't seem to do very well. It's like, private investments, yeah, you guys are lagging. But when the markets are weak or going nowhere, private investments such as real estate crowdfunding, venture debt, venture capital, private equity, all seem to be much better performers. It's a funny illusion because at the end of the day, you're only going to know your true return once you exit out of positions. I'd like everybody to calculate your year-to-date net worth growth and compare it to your target. My target is 10% every year because with a 10% growth every year, I'll double my net worth every 7.2 years, right? With the rule of 72. Right now, my net worth is up about 7.2% because I've tacked on 2.5% from savings along with the returns. So this is why I'm really careful not to blow things up. You know, when you're ahead, again, your goal is to preserve capital. And the more money you have and the closer you are to financial independence, or if you're financially independent, it's all about preservation. Be happy with low returns, stable returns to allow you to keep on being free or keep on going so you're closer and closer to your end goal. Remember to always establish some goals for your investments. You must have goals. Otherwise, it's a waste of time to invest for the future. You might as well spend all your money now if you have no goals. But obviously, don't do that. My main goal for my house proceeds portfolio is to save enough money to buy a beach home in Hawaii. If I can grow the portfolio by 5% a year for the next 3 to 4 years while the Hawaiian housing market continues to soften, I think I can make my dream come true. And it's good to have these dreams. Have these dreams. Daydream about what you want to use this money for. Because if you do, you're going to be much more focused on your money. You're going to check your net worth. You're going to minimize fees. You're going to look for opportunistic investments. You know, what I think about is, hey, tennis in the morning on my property, followed by beach with the family in the afternoon, followed by, you know, maybe writing an article in the evening. That sounds like a good life to me. And that's a dream that's worth pursuing. Thanks, everyone, and I'd love to know how you guys have done so far and how you are positioning your investments for the next 6 months to 18 months.